Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets, our Nuggets insider. Man, they got it done. They avoided Game 7, and I'm with the Nuggets roster. They didn't want to see Dame in Game 7. I'm just glad they got this thing taken care of last night.
Yeah, no doubt. They did it. They finally pulled off a series win in less than seven games. First time in the Mike Malone era.
Oh, isn't that crazy, man? It's nuts, and we don't have to go through that extra stress. We get a little weekend break from it.
Yeah, I mean, well-deserved. I really felt like Michael Malone set the tone in his pregame press conference, actually, and he'll do this from time to time. He felt like to me that he was really speaking to his team through that press conference, and he was saying, like, look, we don't want to go to a game seven. We want to win tonight. We've got to come out and have a punch first mentality. We got to set the tone. And look, it was rocky a little in that first half, but I felt like his message was kind of received by his players in the end. They didn't want to go home and play a game seven. They didn't want to play Damian Lillard in a game seven. So they wanted to take care of business, and they did.
What was it about this one? Because in the third period with about 5-6 minutes left, I think the Nuggets were down, what, 14, 15 points. And it still, and I don't know if you felt this way, but it still kind of felt like, you know what, the Nuggets could get right back in this thing and they're going to be okay. Now, games in the past, I haven't felt that way, especially last Saturday. What was it about this second half? Was that what it was with Malone's message? Joker looked calm even when he wasn't really scoring that much at first.
Yeah, well, Joker had a huge third quarter, but I really feel like the momentum started to turn when Yusuf Nurkic fouled Nikola on that three, and Portland almost challenged, and it looked like maybe that would have been overturned. They didn't. It was Nurkic's third foul. Jokic hit three free throws, and then Yusuf Nurkic picked up his fourth foul and went to the bench a possession or two later. And then Damian Lillard hit a three, and then Monte Morris came back with that third quarter buzzer beater. And that was the moment when I said to myself, I think Nuggets have this because they got the momentum. And that Monte Morris three at the third quarter buzzer was massive, absolutely massive. And then the wheels came off for Portland, it seemed like, without Nurkic and then, you know, towards the very end of regulation.
That's a great point because you see the Nuggets getting momentum back. They're getting it, what, within four or five. You see Dame get the big play, and with 4 seconds left, yeah, Morris with that kind of running three, it kind of sucked all the momentum right back to the Nuggets. If Portland was trying to regain it, it went right back to Denver. And as you said, fourth period, the wheels started to fall off.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, it kind of reminded me a little of that Game 7 against the Clippers when – the Clippers just didn't have an answer. They didn't have an answer down the stretch in that series last playoff, and that was kind of how Portland seemed towards the end of that game last night. You know, Denver found something defensively. Dame didn't seem like he was himself. A couple Nuggets coaches were saying like he might have gotten hurt earlier in the quarter, but Denver found something defensively, and then, you know, guys just stepped up and knocked down huge shots, so... it was an incredible one.
Yeah, it really was. Let's go through this. The first period, I mean, Michael Porter Jr., man, he had some coffee or something, man. He was on fire. Ended up the night with 26, but what was it, 21-22, just in that first period alone?
Yeah, just super confident, and I feel like a lot of it came from what he did in Game 5 and the confidence he got from that strong bounce-back game after just a brutal Game 4 kind of carried over to last night. And look, he was just shooting into a big basket, as Michael Malone likes to say. And the craziest part about those shots that he was hitting, I mean, those are shots he hit all regular season. Just those quick pull-up threes coming off of screens just with no airspace. Those are shots he knocks down all the time. Jok had the two fouls early, didn't score in the first quarter. Michael Porter Jr. keeping them afloat, absolutely massive.
Yeah, no question about it. Talk to us about the defensive side. Now, we knew Damian Lillard. I mean, he's going to get his. Most games, whether it's against the Nuggets or anybody, he's going to find a way to get you 25-plus, get you in the 30s, and, of course, the other night, get you 55. I was really impressed with what they did with C.J. McCollum. Now, he had 20 points, but he was I mean, is it fair to say he was kind of a non-factor in the series for the most part?
Oh, definitely. And I mean, thinking back to the series 2 years ago when he just takes over Game 7 and wins the series for Portland, I always felt like there might have been a CJ game coming, but it just never happened. And you know, like, they just made it hard for him. Austin Rivers, Faku, Aaron Gordon spent some time on him throughout the series. They just made it tough on him. And, you know, it seemed like there were really, in the end, three players that kind of mattered in this series: Dame, Jusuf Nurkić, and Nikola Jokic, you know, when it really came down to it. And CJ, Denver just turned him into another role player, it seemed.
Yeah, and I think that was, you know, before the series started, we talked about the duo, not just Lillard, but the duo, the guard duo. And again, taking out half of that, for the most part, it proved to be extremely beneficial. But yeah, Nikola Jokic, man, every time I say this, and it's cliche, but what more can you say? We say that, and then he goes into flat-out takeover mode. I think the knock last year, maybe 2 years ago, was that, oh, the Nuggets don't have that killer instinct guy, the guy that can, yeah, Joker can score a lot, but is he going to demand the basketball and take over a game? We are certainly seeing that now.
Yeah, for sure. And what is just so apparent about Nikola right now, he's got a great feel for the moment. Like, I feel like he knows when Denver can capture momentum. He knows when the game is kind of hanging in the balance, and he'll step up to the table and take a big shot. Like, I think about that high-arcing three over Jusuf Nurkić, I believe that was in the third quarter. Like, that was a moment. I feel like that was him recognizing the moment and saying to himself, all right, like, I got to step up here and make a big shot. He's just got a great recognition and feel for that. And the other thing is, like, Nikola Jokic right now leads the NBA in made field goals in the playoffs. He has the most baskets in the playoffs, and he hasn't played close to the most minutes. He has the most baskets made in the regular season. It's time to start talking about Nikola Jokic as just one of the best flat-out scorers in the NBA, maybe among the best.
Before we jump away from Portland to the Phoenix series, Harrison, I want to talk to you about Damian Lillard. I mean, you're seeing some cryptic stuff out there via social media. Lillard's kind of been known as the guy that's going to stay loyal to Portland. Do you think he's going to be in Portland? I mean, I know he just signed that extension, what, in 2019. Do you see him sticking that contract out, or does Portland eventually sometime go into a rebuild mode?
If I had to bet, I'd say Dame sticks around, but the rest of the pieces around him move. Look, if you're Portland and you trade Damian Lillard, you are heading towards a really long and tough rebuild. You know, they might be going to, like, a light rebuild anyway, but I would bet they stick and hang on to Dame. And Jusuf Nurkić had some pretty cryptic quotes himself last night about his future in Portland, so I would expect, you know, maybe he's on the move. CJ McCollum, I've got to think, you have to think about moving him. I mean, just how many times are you going to run it back and fail in the playoffs with the Lillard-McCollum backcourt? And, you know, Terry Stotts' future seems to be hanging in the balance too. So I expect Portland to look drastically different next season. I'd still be surprised if Damian Lillard was not there, though.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Yeah, and maybe if they figure it out and they could build around him in a different way. Nurkić, like you said, Nurkić is tough. I mean, defensively, when he's on the floor, good things typically happen, but he can't stay on the floor. And at the end of the day, is that just who he is? So a lot of interesting things going on in Portland over the offseason. Now moving on to Phoenix, the Suns get it done. They take care of the Lakers. No Anthony Davis. LeBron couldn't overcome it. He's out. Loses, what, in first time ever for LeBron James in the first round. Talk to us about this matchup against Phoenix. First off, do we like it better than the matchup that we saw against Portland?
Not necessarily. I think it's still going to probably be a long series, six or seven games. I definitely think Denver can win, though. And you kind of compare Phoenix and Portland. Phoenix has more potential wing defenders. I think that could hold down Michael Porter Jr. even more, maybe. Now, I think Porter gained a lot of confidence this series, and that's going to carry him a little into next round. But Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, those guys are going to zero in on Michael Porter this series, so he's got his work cut out for him. But the reason why I'll be picking Denver in this series is the thing that you got to look for in these teams Denver's playing: who's going to guard Nikola Jokic? Mm-hmm. And yes, DeAndre Ayton is a really nice up-and-coming center. He's had a great year. I think he could continue to kind of ascend in this next series. But behind him, Phoenix has no one. Frank Kaminsky is one of their backup bigs. Dario Saric is another one of their backup bigs. And you saw in that Portland series that, you know, Jusuf Nurkić was really holding things together for Portland against Nikola Jokic. That was Portland's key, winning those Jusuf Nurkić minutes, and they did. So after DeAndre Ayton, you know, Phoenix doesn't have anybody to challenge Nikola Jokic. So I think Jokic's going to have another huge series, and it's the leading reason why I think Denver can win.
And the guard play doesn't get any easier when you look at Phoenix. Of course, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. Paul has he reminds me a lot of Chauncey Billups, stabilizing this force and this scoring monster that is Devin Booker. Can we expect? I mean, again, you got to be able to isolate one of them or to slow one of them down. And do you see a guy like Austin Rivers again and Monte Morris maybe getting the one up? I mean, Morris had a fantastic game last night. He's been awesome in this series. So some big moments for the guards for the Nuggets, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Booker matchup's going to be fascinating. It's probably going to be the key to Denver. Can they slow Devin Booker at all? And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Aaron Gordon spends a little bit of time on him, like we saw him guard Lillard and McCollum throughout the last series. Booker might even be a better matchup for Gordon than those two were. And then, you know, it's going to come down to, like, can Denver force the ball out of Devin Booker's hands like they really started to do to Dame over the second half of that game six? Denver brought their bigs up so high in that high pick and roll, really forced Dame to give that ball up to Nurkić kind of on the roll. And I've got to think that's what they'll try to do, you know, to Chris Paul and Devin Booker when those guys go into those similar actions. So that's what it's going to come down to probably. Can the Nuggets contain Devin Booker enough?
It'll be interesting, too, to see on the other side. We saw it with Portland, some former Nuggets, right? Greats with Melo there, of course, and Nurk. Torrey Craig, I know he was a fan favorite, Harrison, you know, because of his defense especially. That was a tough one for fans to see go, but you know he's going to be motivated in this series.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, he's playing. Phoenix doesn't have the deepest bench either. They're kind of similar to Portland in that way. I mean, they've got Cam Johnson coming off the bench. They got Cam Payne, their backup point guard. And that's really it in terms of, I feel like, who they trust off the bench. Torrey Craig kind of next up. Played 11 minutes last night against the Lakers. So he'll play in this series, I guarantee you. And, you know, that'll be a nice little subplot to follow along for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. Monday night, we'll take a weekend break from Nuggets action. Meanwhile, in the rest of the NBA, Harrison, who do you like? How about tonight? Do the Mavs win this thing? Do they move on to the second round?
Oh, I hope so, Brady. Yeah. I hope so.
Me too, man.
I hope so. I mean, no home team has won a game yet in this series, so that would make you think the Clippers take this one tonight. I kind of wonder if this is just Luka Doncic's moment. That would be cool to see. He's had an unbelievable series so far, and if he plays like he did a couple nights ago, the Mavs probably win this one, and I think you could maybe see a little bit of not a rebuild, but kind of a retooling in L.A. with the Clippers if that happens. So that's what I'm most curious about. Is this Luka Doncic's moment, and does he kind of take that?
Yeah, no, this series has been kind of interesting the whole way through, so I'm sure we'll have more of it to come. Tomorrow, Bucks, Nets, they start their series. I mean, is Brooklyn destined to get into the finals?
I think so. They've been my championship pick ever since the Harden trade. I think they're clearly the best team in the NBA. Now, the thing about the Bucks, and I think I might have even said this on your show, like, I maybe liked the Miami Heat in that first round series, and I was dead wrong on that, obviously. The Bucks might just be a really good team, too. Because if you think about Milwaukee, the biggest upgrade they made, they swapped Eric Bledsoe for Drew Holiday. That is just like such a massive, massive upgrade in all facets, offense, defense, leadership, mentality. So maybe the Bucks are just a really good team. They might be. But I'm still picking Brooklyn. I'm still picking Brooklyn to win the championship.
How about, was it on Sunday, Hawks at 76ers? We'll get to that first one. Do the Hawks have a shot?
I think they do have a shot if Joel Embiid doesn't play. They do. I mean, kind of like Luka Doncic, this is the ascension of Trae Young. This is kind of Trae Young saying, all right, everybody who said I couldn't win the playoffs, watch me. And so I love this moment for Trae Young. I love this new generation of players just not really giving a damn about anything and just going out and winning. So I think they can win. I think they can win if Embiid does not play.
Which makes, to your point, which makes the NBA just, to me, it's just going to keep getting this way. I mean, spread out on, you know, any team. What do you think on that? Do you think we're going to see more playoffs like we're seeing now, where specifically in the West, where it's the wild, wild West? It does not matter if you were favored to win this thing. And I know injuries had a lot to do with the Lakers. But do you see this kind of landscape where, you know, you do now, it's instead of two or three or one or two, it's five or six teams could potentially win this thing every year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just kind of a changing of the guard. You know, LeBron's clearly on the downside of his career, like Kawhi as well. It's just the changing of the guard. You got these young generation of players coming up, Trae Young, John Morant, Luka, obviously, and like the guys in Denver, of course, but these guys just don't really care about, you know, they don't care about who they're going up against. You know, John Morant goes into Salt Lake City game one against the number one seed and just plays his game and wins and talks a lot of trash and just shows up. So I love the younger generation of players just not, like I said, not really giving a damn and just kind of trying to conquer the league and take what's theirs.
Yeah, no, it's a blast. I think it's made it so much fun this year. Harrison, what are you working on for us that we can read tonight and throughout the weekend?
Yeah, I should have a piece on Monte Morris going up later today or tomorrow, and he was huge in games 5 and 6. But I also think he's so symbolic of kind of this Nuggets team, a group of underdogs who have been underrated and written off and just who grind and grind and grind and play for each other. And, I mean, that's Monte Morris to a T. And he was kind of the low-key hero. He was kind of the underrated hero for Denver in games 5 and 6. So I think he deserves some shine.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, my friend. Harrison, appreciate you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Sounds good, Brady. Take care.
Thanks, man. Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Heck of a performance. Heck of a performance all the way around from Monte Morris. So I'm looking forward to that write-up. 39 minutes after the hour, Power to Play Sports poll questions available at thewholeshow.com. Will there ever be a day that the Nuggets, the Avs, even the Rockies can dethrone the Broncos as the most popular team in the state? First, next up, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.